And you're listening to Bicycle Talk. This is 91.7 WHUS Stores, Connecticut, and you're listening to Bicycle Talk on September 21st, 2016. If you have a comment or would like to contribute, please call or text 860-486-9487 or email today@radionaturopath@gmail.com. So today I'm asking you to go to radionaturopath@gmail.com. However, if you're listening to us on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk1, that's bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. All right, and I have a very special guest. So today, Ron is not here. He is actually at Interbike. He is in Las Vegas. But through the magic of technology, we can bring him right into the studio. Isn't that right, Ron?
It's totally correct, Fran.
Yeah. So I've already...
Here I am. I'm in Interbike. I'm at the big bike show. It's the biggest bicycle show in the U.S.
Yay. So that is so exciting. And so
yeah,
we are live from Interbike in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right, right. So anyway, it's, you know, this is a pretty exciting time for everyone in the bicycle industry. People come from all over the world to bring in their products and show their wares and talk about their products and try to sell both on, you know, a wholesale distributor network and also to a retail network. And so it's a big deal. And I have been going for too many years, 41 years now. So,
wow.
I've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, everybody talks to me. It's so funny because we go out for bike rides. Fran and I go out for bike ride, and I'll tell people, oh, yeah, I'm going to be away next week. And it's like, I go to Interbike, and they're like, oh, Interbike? It's where all those bikes are. It's really cool. But, you know, if you're a cyclist, you know, this is a great place. It's like a kid in a candy store here. And I remember when I first brought Fran, she had a pretty big, you know, she had a good time here, right, Fran?
Oh, it was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah, and Fran was out riding on four-wheel bicycles with guys sitting in them, and she was being her cute self and getting a little attention and having some fun and checking out all the cool clothing and everything else that's here. And that's the thing. Everything is here. It's, you know, it's not just bicycles. It's nutrition, more nutrition than you could possibly imagine. Just an amazing amount of bicycle clothing that's here. Exotic bike parts, you know, shoes, helmets, you name it, it's here. There's representatives here. There's a whole section here that is from China and people who are manufacturers in China, and they're trying to get U.S. business here. So they're showing what they can do in their Chinese factories.
Wow.
There's another section here that's from Taiwan, and same thing. They're showing what they do. They're presenting here. They're trying to gain some business, maybe get a few contacts here in the U.S. And so they show their stuff here, too. And then so you have them, and you also have Japan. Japan has some major manufacturers still in the industry that make really high-quality products. They are here. It's just representatives from all over the world. And then there's my favorite place to land. And I have to say, I have a passion for this. But I'm standing in the middle of the Italian section right now, and I am just completely taken back. It's, you know, the Italians, I don't know what it is, but they catch your eye, they draw you in, the sex appeal that goes along with Italian bicycles and Italian clothing, it's just beyond compare. It really is, and they'll always be that way. They're just, in my heart, at least. I know there's other people that like other things. There are people that like, you know, their American manufactured products, and there's people that like other products that are out there. But it, to me, it's the Italian. The Italians still have the pop that makes the bicycle industry very exciting to me. So here I am. Here I am talking about bicycles at Las Vegas, Nevada. I will only be with us for a little while here on the show, and then Fran will take over. And I believe that Fran has the rant of the day down because it happened to her last week. So
yeah.
she can cover that later on as soon as I'm off air.
Right.
But anyway, it's so we're just going to, you know, kind of talk about what I'm seeing out here. I kind of got a brief idea this morning because the show actually opens today, and there were a lot of people that were still setting up their booths yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that was going on yesterday was There's something called Outdoor Demo. And at the Outdoor Demo, you can go over to bicycle companies and manufacturers, and you can demo products. So there's many of the manufacturers are out there, and the distributors are out there with their bicycles. And you bring your, you know, your shoes and your helmet with you, and then you go out and try different bikes out.
So, nice.
Again, if you're a bicycle geek, this is heaven. You are where you need to be, because it's a really fun thing. Also, if you are a consumer of bicycles and are totally fascinated by this and the idea of being here, on Friday of this week, the show opens to consumers. So it has traditionally been just an industry show that has been only for folks within the industry. But now they have decided, as of a couple of years ago, they decided to open up the show to people who are, you know, just love bikes and want to be here. And so on Friday, you'll see a lot of people just coming through with, you get that, you know, starry, glazed eye kind of look that they're walking around just going, oh, my God, I've died and I'm in heaven. This is wonderful.
So on Monday, I went to the Big E. On Friday, I could have gone to the Big B.
You could have. It's all true. It's all true. Yes. And were there any bicycles at the Big E this year?
Oh, gee. Let me think.
Probably not.
I can't. You know what? Isn't that sad? I cannot think of any bicycles that I saw. I saw hot tubs.
Yeah.
And I saw backhoes, and I saw, hamburgers in between donuts and deep fried Oreos and maple cotton candy and alpaca blankets. But I don't, that's crazy. I don't think I saw any bicycles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I could see plenty of bicycles right here, everywhere
I
turn. There's a bicycle in my eyes and
yeah.
in my face. And then there's racks to carry the bicycles here. There's, there's all sorts of just lots of interesting, like kind of weird stuff, too. There's lots of weird new products, new innovations in the bicycle industry. There's a company that this is already released, and you'll see it at your local bike shop, or some of your local bike shops may have this at this point in time. But there's actually a Bluetooth shifting system that is out for a road bike, and I think they're doing it on mountain bikes too. Yeah, there's a company called SRAM, and they have been manufacturing high-tech products for a number of years, and they have moved to wireless shifting on your bicycle.
So how do you do that?
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Bluetooth technology. Very
no,
simple.
I understand,
it's all
but like,
operated.
How do you shift? Do you use your hand to shift something? Are you pressing a button, or is
yeah.
it automatic yep. shifting, or what's going mm-hmm. on?
Yeah, you push a button on the lever, and when you push the button on the lever, what you get is the lever talks to the derailleur, and it changes it.
Weird.
How it works. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that's to give you an idea of where the technology is going and what's going on. I mean, we're going to have driverless cars soon, you know? It's all
I know.
In the process. Our technology just keeps getting greater and greater, so it's... you know, it's where the whole business is headed, and so eventually, you know, mechanical cables and mechanical bicycles will be around forever. I think that's not going to go away. But on the high-end market, you're going to see a lot more of this electronic product, and there already
yes.
is a fair amount of electronic product. Both Shimano and Campagnolo have been putting out, and now SRAM is putting it out too. So they're putting out a lot of products into the marketplace that is electronically controlled. Why do I need an electronically controlled bike? Some people will ask. And that's a very good question. So the answer to that question is, if you've ever ridden a bike and it's a multi-speed bike with a couple of chain rings in the front and then a bunch of chain rings in the back, I just heard a bike bell from the distance. I don't know if he caught that or not. Anyway, if you've ever been riding your bike and then you put your bike into a gear and that gear is what we call a cross chain. So you're in one side on one end and on the other side on the other end. So you get a rubbing. You get kind of a rubbing noise that happens. And you have to, of course, move the levers ever so slightly to get the rubbing to go away. Well, I'm trying to get away from all the vacuum cleaners here, too.
well, you want Interbike to be clean.
So what you do is, oh, it's very clean now. Well, it's getting cleaner by the moment. So anyway, you get that rubbing sound. And the way to get rid of the rubbing sound is to simply, you know, adjust the lever ever so slightly and trim it so that you don't get the rubbing sound. Well, the electronic bikes know what gear you're in the back and in the front, and they automatically control and trim it for you. So you don't have to correct anything.
Wow.
You know, that's the technology. That's where it's going. It's really kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
So there's also, like, really high-tech products here, you know, high-tech clothing and, you know, high-tech helmets. There's a lot of helmet innovation going on. Real large supply of nutrition companies here. There's a lot of people that are selling different forms of nutrition.
Get so beet stuff. Anything with beets.
Beet stuff. Fran likes beet stuff.
She
has found that beet stuff is where it's at. She's got, and I'm sure she has a reason for that, and she'll let you know about that a little later on.
Well, I already talked about it, so it's okay.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Excellent. So anyway, there's a lot of interesting products out there because there's always a lot of research as to, you know, trying different things to get better performance out of your body or better recovery out of your body or whatever it is that you're looking for. So anyway, it's all here. Everything's here. It's kind of crazy. It's just a giant bicycle party, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Except for those of us that are in the industry and those of us that have to work the whole time. So
yeah.
It's, you know, we are here to actually do our jobs. So anyway,
right.
It's pretty neat. It's a really fun thing. Hoping to see some celebrities here. I don't know who's here at this time, but I'm really hoping that there will be some people here that are famous from the bike world.
That would be cool.
That would be a cool thing.
Yeah.
And if I can interview them and record them, I will do that. And then I'll bring it on for the next time for our next show.
Yeah.
We can do something like that. That'd
be cool.
Kind of fun, too.
Yeah, because
so,
last year you met Gogo.
A lot of buzz here in the bike business.
Right.
The other thing, which has grown immensely here, and what I'm seeing an awful lot of, is e-bikes.
Right.
And e-bikes are those electronic bikes. They are basically, they are an electronic assist bicycle. So when you push down hard enough on the pedal, the electronics kick in and they drive a motor because it's a battery-powered bike or battery-assisted bike, and they will help you get up the hills.
Right.
So kind of a neat thing. Huge display of e-bikes here. I've never seen it this large. It's an enormous thing in Europe, so you see a lot more of it in Europe than you see here, and has been growing at a really, like, record-breaking pace in Europe.
Well, I think the thing about e-bikes, it puts more people on bicycles.
That's exactly right, and that's what we need to see. We need to see more people on bikes, or in the industry, we call it more butts on bikes.
That's right.
It's a good thing. And if it gets somebody started or even ends their career or whatever you want to call it, or their lifelong love of bicycles because they no longer have the capability to climb up the big hills or, you know, they're getting older, getting weaker, whatever it is, you can still ride your bike.
Right.
Which is, like, such an important thing because
it's
really what life is all about, is not?
Yeah.
You can tell I'm a little biased here.
Yeah. Bikes are
anyway,
good.
Anyway, bikes are good.
Yeah.
Yes, they really are. So the e-bike thing is very interesting because we're inside of a very large arena here. We're at Mandalay Bay, and we're in the convention center. And they've actually roped off a section over by the e-bike that is a test track.
Oh.
So I'm thinking that there could be some really good YouTube possibilities over there, you know, people crapping on e-bikes and e-scooters.
And all right.
So there may be some entertainment value to hanging out over there sometime during the day. I'll have to check and see if I have time to do so. But anyway, there's a big, big test track, so that's kind of neat, too.
That's neat.
Anyway.
That's going to be very popular on Friday when the regular people, when the masses can come.
Yeah, and I think it is, and I think that there's going to be a lot of bicycle dealers here, too, that are really, you know, looking to explore this. I've talked to more and more of my accounts when I'm out on the road about it, and there seems to be much more of an acceptance to the idea that an e-bike is okay now.
Yeah.
Whereas a few years ago, e-bikes were, the last thing that any bicycle shop wanted to have. in their store on their floor because they're a very narrow-minded group sometimes.
Well, right, but it's going, like I said, it's going to get more people on bicycles. Some people are going to use it just to get started, and they're going to be excited about riding the bike. And once they get really good riding the e-bike, then they might transfer over to a non-e-bike, and they decide that they want to use it for fitness. And then other people are never going to get to that level. And, you know, we've talked about one of the uses for this is if you have a couple where one is a cyclist and the other is not, the person who's the non-cyclist can use the e-bike and they can actually go for a nicer, more intense bike ride or a longer bike ride with their partner. So
right. And one of my bike dealers had that experience. He actually had someone who was an avid cyclist and, you know, was riding his bike a lot, and his significant other was standing at home doing the what Fran likes to call toe-tapping.
Yes.
Which is, when are you going to get back? How long are you going to be out for?
Right.
What are you doing today? Where are you going? Do I have to worry about you? You know, all the basic stuff that goes along with significant others and spousal situations when it comes to riding a bicycle.
Or the why aren't Fran you here for, with are, me? Yeah.
Hmm. Fortunately, Fran and I are like, we're like, you know, we both like to ride our bikes, which is a good thing. So we may not get the lawn mode, but we'll ride our bike.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, the e-bikes have a definite opening here in the industry. I think we're going to see a lot more of that activity here in Europe. It is out of control. So it's only just a matter of time before it actually happens here in the United States. I was going to try to grab one of my friends, but he seems to be getting sucked into a sales situation over here.
Okay.
He works for a tire company, and I've known him for years because I see him at a lot of the festivals, and we've become pretty good friends. And, you know, he said, you know, they've got all these new tires that they're introducing now with different technologies. It's changing all the time. Everything's always changing. And the technology on the tires, they give you more grip, they give you more durability. There's different tires for different uses. So anyway, he was going to come on, but he's pretty booked out right now, I can see. He's pretty busy.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to bother him.
That's okay.
And, you know, we're all kind of lining up here, getting ready for our briefings before the show opens. And the show opens here in another, I don't know, where am I at, probably 40 minutes or 30 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, so we're just looking around all the pretty bikes, and they're everywhere. It's just such a cool place to be. So if you are listening and you are a consumer and you are interested in getting involved in this whole crazy interbike experience, which I highly recommend, then, you know, you book a plane to Vegas next year and come on out and, you know, do a little Vegas stuff if that entertains you. I'm not overly thrilled with it, but some people are. And then you can come to the consumer show on Friday. And the consumer show will enlighten you to what's going on in the bike shop, in the bike business. And you get to see what your bike shops get to see before you do. So it's kind of fun. You know, it really is a neat thing to do. So I would highly recommend it. If you've got the time and the money to do it, then I would seriously recommend doing something like this, because you know, it's just really eye-opening as to what goes on here at Interbike. There's also seminars here for the dealers, and so they learn different things, like, you know, how to use new computer systems to organize their store. There are seminars on bicycle repair and different types of technologies that are out, how to fix them because they're always changing. So there's a lot of information here for those that are in the industry also. So it's fun. And I think it gives everyone a good idea of what's going on in the industry. And right now, there's a lot of concern about that, because what we have is we have a lot more internet traffic than we used to have. And because of that, there's less floor traffic. So I've been having conversations with a few different companies out here while before the show, and talking to them about, you know, what's going on. I've also talked to a number of my dealers about this, and my dealers are saying, and pretty much the companies are giving the same statistics that they're seeing, and that floor traffic is down 15 to 20% in brick and mortar stores.
Oh.
So that's a little upsetting because, you know, we want people to come into the bike shop. Bike shop's a fun place. You know, it's kind of a festive place. And, you know, everybody, if you're interested in bikes and you walk into a bike shop, you're amongst a whole bunch of friends.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're all into the same thing. So it's, please, you know, reconsider if you've been, you know, surfing online and looking at bike stuff. You really won't get the same experience there as you will get when you go to your local bike shop. And remember, I mean, not to you know, beat a dead horse on this because I talk about this a lot, but support your local bike shop so that they're there when you need them. Because if you don't, they won't be there next year. So it's pretty important that you know, make sure that you visit your local bike store and help your local bike store out, do business with your local bike store. It's what keeps us in the business, and it does support American workers, so that's an important thing, too, to understand, and keeps our economy rolling. So it's a good thing. I mean, you're supporting bicycles. Bicycles are wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It looks like the Italians are all starting to arrive over here at that booth that is covered with Celeste carpet and Celeste bicycles, where I will be having my meeting very shortly.
I see.
So I'm just gonna kind of hover around here while they continue to talk, and when they start to gather, I will have to leave. But
okay.
Anyway, bikes. Bikes are cool.
Can't you get one of them to say hello in Italian?
Can I get one of them to say hello in Italian?
Yeah, or something.
Let's see if I can get Angelo over here. let me see if I can grab him. I don't know if I can grab him or not.
So this is really fun.
Anyway, they're busy. They're busy. Everybody's busy. We're all kind of scurrying around and, you know, trying to collect ourselves here and get ready for showtime.
Yeah.
Which will open up here in Las Vegas at 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Which
will be noon here.
It'll be noon there.
Right.
It will. So, anyway, there's some pretty colors here, Fran. You would like this. There's some really pretty bicycles.
Are they
pretty
pink?
Pretty colors. Not in this particular booth, but there are other bicycles out there that are certainly pink.
So you'll have to take some photos.
Yeah, I'm standing in the land of Celeste. So
of course.
Obviously, I'm, you know, we're near where I work.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of Celeste here. I mean, the booth is just, even the carpet is Celeste. So
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
I would like to see a photo of this.
I will take you a picture of that.
Okay.
And I'll send it over.
All right.
As I sent over a couple of other amusing photos earlier this morning to you.
Yes.
I thought those were amusing.
That
and
was
you would
amusing.
Get a kick out of them.
Right.
Yeah.
I did get a kick out of them.
So, anyway, I'm staring at the Italian section again. It's
yes.
So beautiful here. And your favorite saddle is here, of course.
Oh, Sella SMP. All right.
Yeah, Sella SMPs. And they look just as weird as they always have.
Awesome.
And I know you don't think they're weird. You think they make you very, very
I don't
happy,
care if they're weird. It doesn't matter to me if they're weird. They work.
Right. And you know, that brings us to saddle technology and the fact that there is different technology out there because we're all built a little bit different.
Yep.
And some are built with, obviously, men and women are different as far as their hip structures go and where their pelvic bones align and their sits bones align into their hips and on the saddle. So, SMP has more interesting, odd-looking saddles than I have ever seen in the past.
So you should have a good long talk with them and see what the latest and greatest is and what they recommend for me.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
I'll check with them and
all
see
right.
Because they're good guys.
Yeah.
They do something really different than a lot of the other companies do.
Right.
And the key is that, you know, you want to be able to sit on your bike for a long time.
Right.
You want to be able to, you know, be comfortable and be supported and, you know, be able to enjoy your ride.
And not chafe.
No chafing,
right.
no extra bruising or anything like that. And that should not come from a good bicycle seat will not do that to you.
Yeah.
It may take a few days or possibly a week to get used to that saddle.
Right.
But once you do, it should be your best friend. It should be just like a part of your body.
Something
that just belongs there.
Yeah.
So that's important. That's really, really important. There's also eyewear here, protective eyewear. You see a lot of that. People don't realize the, they think that they go into a local bike shop and they take a look and they see sunglasses. That's what they see. And I have this conversation a lot with my dealers. You shouldn't be selling sunglasses. You should be selling eye protection, because that's really what it is. So if you think about this, if you're one of those riders that goes out and you ride your bike, and the first thing you do before you leave your house, you put your helmet on and you make sure that it's fit properly and that it doesn't wiggle around and it fits securely on your head, because you do want it to be able to work if you should need it. If you're one of those folks, then how about your eyes? How important are your eyes? You think about your head all the time, but your eyes are extremely important. You can't see without them. You can't make any decisions or judgments without them, so you really need them. So it's very important to protect your eyes also. And there are a number of companies here that are selling eye protection too. And some of it's very fashionable. Some of it's just very effective.
Right.
So anyway. But the bike show. It's kind of, the smell of rubber is in the air.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool place.
That's great.
It's going to be a fun couple of days. I'll be real tired by the time I get home, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'll come back with a lot of knowledge and renewed energy, because you do get that from here. Coming out here kind of inspires you because of some of the things that you see. I saw some great stuff last night. I was at a meeting last night, saw some really cool technology. There's the GPS technology that's out right now for your bike is coming way down in price. And so there's going to be some just fabulous, fabulous bicycle computers that require absolutely no wires whatsoever or no sensors on the bike, because it's all ridden off of, it's all works off of the GPS signal. So it's reading off the satellite, tells you how fast you're going, tells you where you're going, tells you when to turn, just like your GPS would in your car.
Wow.
And they have the same thing for bicycles. So it's another market that has a lot of growth potential for those of us who are pretty serious about what we do and wanting to know where we are and how fast we went and how far we went and where we are, really. When you're out riding your bike, you don't get lost, hopefully, if you have a GPS. And you can actually pre-program and drop a map that you've already ridden or that you found somewhere into these, and it will guide you step by step as to where you need to turn, right turn ahead, left turn ahead.
Yeah.
Just like you would if you were to, drive your car with a GPS.
Right.
So that's real good. I had an interesting talk with a gentleman about driverless cars.
Yeah.
And, I find that, I'm a little nervous about the whole driverless car thing. And he said he thinks driverless cars are going to be the best thing for the bicycle industry. And I asked him why. And, it's very interesting to ask questions, because you never really know what you're going to get for an answer. And his answer was, a driverless car will see a cyclist in the road and will respond properly.
Oh,
a car with a driver, okay, is going to go, oh, those bicycles, they're in my way, and get all angry, like you can talk about your rant when I get done with you, but they'll get angry and they'll make an irrational decision, whereas the driverless car makes computerized, rational decision, because that's what it's programmed to do.
So would the computerized car... Go ahead. Would the computerized car not do the Oreo thing? That thing that we hate, where the car tries to pass the cyclist with an oncoming car in the other direction. Would it not do that?
No, because the sensors on the computerized car are going to sense the car coming from the other direction.
Yeah.
So it's going to know that it shouldn't pass because it's got that, and it's also the computerized cars are getting so good that they know how fast the vehicle is that they're passing.
Right.
So they'll be able to calculate whether or not they would make it or not.
Right.
And they won't take that chance.
Right.
And with the computerized cars, they're so conservative with the way these things are being built.
Yeah.
And, because they don't want to have an accident, they don't want to have a lawsuit. So they're going to be on the conservative side. So they're going to be more likely to sit back there for a longer period of time and wait until the driving is safe before they go around.
Right. My friend has a new car, and his car has lane correction and, you know, a car's in front of me, so I'm going to slow down correction. It has all, it's got all that. And, you know, as soon as you back up, it turns on the backup camera. It's really, but it's not just, the backup camera. It has lane correction. It has obstacles in the way. It's all kinds of stuff. It's really neat.
Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing about lane correction is that if you're passing a cyclist on the road and you're trying to come around and you come in too close to them, the lane correction is going to pull you away from them.
Right.
So, you know, that's another little piece of the puzzle that goes along with the automation of the vehicle and the motorized vehicle.
It'd be really cool if they could recognize that it's a cyclist, because then it's going to pull them away 3 feet.
Well, that's an interesting thing. And if anyone is listening to this either on the radio or by podcast and knows anything about this technology, we would really love it if you would address this with us, because I would like to know more about it, and we could add it into a show, and we could talk about it a little bit more to see, you know, where that technology is going and how developed it's going to be. So anyway, I'm being beckoned to a meeting here, so I'm going to head back into my booth here to the meeting. Everybody's calling me back. This is Peddlin' Ron. Bring you live broadcast from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm going to pass it over to my cohort here, Fran Storch, and she will finish up with Bicycle Talk today. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ron. Have fun.
All right. We're having fun. Take care.
All right. Take care. All right, so that was our very own Peddlin' Ron, and he was live from Las Vegas at Interbike, which is the International Bicycle Trade Show. So he's very excited. There's all kinds of great stuff to see there. And I'm sure that when he gets back, he'll be able to talk more about that. So he'll talk a little bit more about it next week. I'm not sure if we also have a guest, but we might. Anyway, so next week when he's back, he'll fill you in on all the other cool stuff that he saw and experienced there. So he passed it on to me. He wanted me to do the rant of the week, and so I'm going to do that now. So I had an experience this week. I was on my bicycle. I was by myself. I was on a lonely country road. There was nobody around me at all. I had traversed the length of the road, and I was about to turn left off of it. At the end of the road, there's a bit of a pitch, so I needed to get out of the saddle and climb up so I could make my left turn. There were no cars around me. All of a sudden, I realized there was a car behind me. As soon as I realized, it startled me a little bit, and I actually sat down quickly and signaled left. It was hard for me to signal up. Usually I signal. If I'm seated, I will signal right away. As soon as I realize I'm going to turn, I'll signal. It's hard, much harder to do if you're out of the saddle climbing. And like I said, to get to this next road, I was out of the saddle climbing, so couldn't signal. So when this car came behind me and I heard it, I sat down, which is not might not have been ideal for me to do for my bike handling. But because I knew the car was there, I sat down and I signaled. And suddenly, I heard a woman's voice yelling angrily at me. I wondered when you were going to realize I was back there, stupid. So, yeah. Mm. So, unfortunately, there are bicycle haters out there. There are people who just hate bicycles and hate people on bicycles. And so this is kind of rich. There's a few things to tease out here. It's very sad because here I was all by myself. I was on a country road. There were virtually no cars around. Suddenly this woman comes behind me and there's a car, and that's all that was there. And I was enjoying myself. I was having a very nice ride. And then this woman who enacted something very mean and unkind and inhuman and made me feel bad. And so I was hurt and angry that this person could just yell at me and call me stupid and didn't care that I was a person. What she did is she looked at me and she didn't see Fran Storch. She didn't see a radio naturopath. She didn't see a doctor. She didn't see a person who has nephews and a sister and a partner and a life and has blood in my veins and could die if she hurt me. What she saw was a thing in her way that was not as good as her, in fact, was a bad thing, and deserved to be yelled at and insulted. And so she dehumanized me. So just so you know, if you do stuff like that, if you yell at cyclists in the road you're forgetting that they're people, just like you, and they have whole lives, and you're being hurtful to them. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if you do anything to startle a cyclist who is driving, they could look, who is riding, they could lose control of their bike. Even if, so if you come up behind us and you yell at us, you're mean to us, or you lean on your horn, you startle us, and we are piloting a two-wheeled thing that doesn't have borders on either side of it. It's not a car that has four wheels. It's two wheels. We could lose control of our bikes. We could go down and you could hit us, and it's going to be your fault. All right? And so the other thing is, she's yelling at me angrily. I was on the road first. She came up behind me. If I was any other sort of vehicle, if I was a car, she would have known she had to slow down and let me do my thing. She may not have known which direction I was going, but there was an issue there because I was climbing out of the saddle to get to the top of that hill, and I couldn't signal because I was out of the saddle. But as soon as I heard her, I signaled. And so she didn't know whether I was going right or left, and that part was probably part of her contention. And, you know, if she'd waited 2 seconds, she would have known, and everybody could have gone their merry way. It would have been no big deal. But instead, she enacted this aggressive act, which created animosity between the two of us for no reason. She was mean to another woman, a woman who she didn't even know. It was just a lousy thing to do. It was a lousy, inhuman thing to do. So here's the other piece. Her question was, I was wondering when you were going to realize I was behind you. Well, guess what? If I wasn't responding like I knew you were there, it's because I didn't know you were there. That's how that works. Why would I not know you're there? Well, it's true. I don't have a mirror. And that could be a way to solve that problem. I could get a mirror for my helmet, and then I might have known that she was there. But I also didn't know she was there because her car is very quiet, and I don't think people realize this. Cars these days are very quiet. If they're hybrids, they're even quieter. If they're hybrids or electric, they can make no noise, especially when they're rolling to a stop. If they are not hybrids, we have really good mufflers on our cars in the U.S. So if your muffler is functioning the way it's supposed to, your car's pretty quiet. When you're a cyclist, you have a bicycle helmet on. It makes it harder for you to hear. And if there's wind in your ears, if you're going down a hill or for any reason there's wind blowing in your ears, you can't hear. So if you see a cyclist that's in front of you and they don't seem to realize you're there, it's because they don't realize you're there. They can't hear you. So if you feel like you need us to know that you're there, the thing to do is a friendly little toot on the horn, a very short toot. Don't lean on your horn because you will startle us. You'll also upset us, but you'll startle us. And the startling part of us is dangerous because we can go down. And if we go down in front of you, you may not stop in time and you may hit us. And if you hit us, it's your fault. Okay? So, and you have to realize too that if bicycle versus car, car's going to win. All right. And by win, I mean lose, that you're going to hurt us and you're going to hurt us severely. It's going to be your fault and you're the one who's going to get in trouble. And if you have a conscience, you're going to feel bad about it. If you don't have a conscience, you're going to get caught. Most evil scenario would be you hit and run us and you manage to get and you hurt us badly enough that we're not able to get your license plate or your car make. But if you did that, that would be really, really sick and cruel. So the best thing that woman could have done would have been to gently roll up behind me. And if she wasn't in a rush to get anywhere, roll up behind me, see what I was going to do, and then make her turn. And everybody's happy. I don't know why she couldn't have done that, but obviously this woman had something in her heart and her mind where she was very angry, maybe angry at cyclists in general, and there's something hard about her life that made her want to yell at me. And then there's a paradigm that some people have, those cyclists, that we shouldn't be on the road. If you've got that we shouldn't be on the road paradigm, it's simply not true. We should be on the road. There are rules for us being on the road. We're a vehicle like any other vehicle. There are laws governing how we should be on the road. And there are laws governing how you should handle us when we are on the road. So we should be on the road. We are allowed to be on the road. It is legal for us to be on the road. us not being on the road is your opinion. It is not law. So we're going to be on the road. So the best thing that you can do is learn how to safely interact with us. I try very hard to safely interact with cars. I stay over when I stay over. I get in the middle road to be very obvious when I'm going to make a turn. I signal. I'm wearing brighter clothing now. I just ordered some very high-vis arm warmers and knee warmers. And so I'm trying to be very visible and trying to ride safely and trying not to like be all over the road. And ride in a way that handles cars well. So what that woman did was not cool. It not only wasn't it cool, not only did it hurt me and upset me, but it was dangerous. Because she upset me and she yelled at me and it startled me. And thank goodness I didn't get so upset that I lost control of my bike. But if I had gone down, she would have ridden into me and then she would have had that to deal with. So be very safe when you're going around cyclists. We can't always signal. If we're not signaling, sometimes it's not because we're being negligent. It's sometimes because when you're handling your bike, it's hard to take your hand off the handle. It's not like being in a car where you're just sitting there and you're on four wheels. Sometimes if you're leaning into a turn, it can be difficult to take your hand off the handlebar. If you're out of the saddle, you pretty much can't. So, we can sit down and signal for you, which is what I did in this case, but we can't always do that. So you learned this in driver's ed. Drive defensively. Drive like other people's lives depend on you. You can't, if you drive aggressively, that's dangerous. And you can get pulled over and ticketed for aggressive driving. When you drive defensively, you drive assuming that the other person is going to do something and you drive as safely as you possibly can. So I do have a phone call right now. Unfortunately, I can't take any phone calls today because I am flying solo. So if you have a question, please, and you would like to like me to see your question, please text us at 860-486-9487. Yes, text us at 860-486-9487. You may also write me right now at radionaturopath@gmail.com. That's radionaturopath@gmail.com, and I will be happy to answer your question. All right. So then this leads to the next thing that happened to me on that very same ride. So I was kind of upset after encountering that woman, and I continued along the road, and the road I turned into has a steep descent, and it's really fun because you get to go downhill for a mile or two. It's really nice. So what happened was about midway during the descent, I'm like fuming about what just happened. I happened to see a family, and a young fella, one of the people in the family, was on a horse. So it was a young fella sitting on the horse, and a woman, and perhaps another perhaps both parents. I'm not sure if it was both parents, but it was definitely a woman and a young fella and maybe another young fella. So they were all going down the same road off to the side of the road, and the boy was on a horse. And as I was going down the hill, I very loudly and cheerily, in a friendly way, said, "Hello, hi, how are you all doing? Hi there." And as I was passing them, I actually, which was very silly, I said, "Hi, I'm talking and making noise so I don't spook your horse." And the woman said, "Thank you," because a long time ago, we were tersely corrected by a woman who was riding a horse on the road that, you know, that you're supposed to talk and make noise as you're going by us. And she wasn't nice about it, which wasn't nice. And I told another horse person that the woman wasn't nice about it. And she said, the woman who I told said, she shouldn't have been mean about it. What use is that? Having said that, it taught me that when you go by a horse on your bicycle, you should talk. And the way you talk is you greet them and say hello and be friendly, but you make noise so the horse knows that you're there and they don't spook. Because if you suddenly come by, the motion can make them spook. Sometimes they spook anyway. You can come behind them and start talking and yelling and saying hello and being friendly, and they spook anyway. But in this case, they didn't. And I said hello, and I was very pleasant, and the woman said thank you, and I went on my way, and it was very nice because everybody smiled at me and waved, and it was cool. So the funny thing that happened was I didn't know this, but they knew me. They knew who I was, and they were patients from a long time ago, and they called the office, And so this is why you should always say hello and be friendly. So here's the opposite of what happened. So that woman was mean to me, and I'm going to be very careful when I'm around that intersection, because now I'm worried that she's going to be there. On the other hand, I said hello to these people, and it taught me, when you have the chance to say hello to people, smile and say hello. Now, I notice when I'm with my friend Amber, who's a professional bike racer, when I ride with her, she waves and says hello to everyone. She's a really terrific ambassador. And I noticed we were on our bikes together one day chatting. And we were chatting, and then in the middle of our chat, somebody came by us, and we both put our arms in the air at the same time. It was like it was choreographed. It was really funny. But that's a really good thing to do, because like I was talking about with this other lady, that other lady dehumanized me. She decided I wasn't a person. And there are people, there are even professional cyclists who are trying to teach people that cyclists are people too. And that we are people on bicycles, we're people on the road. And when you interact with us, we're humans. We're not things to get angry at and yell at. And so we want to remind you that we're human, and that, you know, the road is a place for everyone, and there's a place, there's a way to behave on the road, and you want to behave as safely as possible. If that woman hadn't gotten angry with me, wouldn't both our days have gone more nicely? So, all right. Ron wanted me to tell you about information at Bike Walk Connecticut, and there is information at Bike Walk Connecticut about some of the following activities. There are various tours of different cities that are set up by Bike Walk Connecticut. And there's one coming up this Sunday, September 25th. And it's the New Britain Tour. And it starts and finishes at Walnut Hill Park behind the New Britain Museum of American Art, which is at 56 Lexington Avenue in New Britain. If you go to Bike Walk Connecticut, there's a map there. It will show you how to park. You can register at 7 a.m. There's a ride start for all routes at 8:30 a.m. And there are several different routes. You get to see various things in New Britain. I did the one in Hartford a few years ago, and that was pretty fun because you get to see all kinds of stuff in Hartford. They took you out into Farmington a little bit, but it was a nice ride. It's just rides with rest stops, and it's very interesting. There are the routes are 10 miles, 25 miles, 50 miles, and then it says 9 miles to Weeha, which is I'm not sure what Weeha, if that's Walnut Hill Park, or I'm not sure what that. Oh, I'm sorry. 9 miles to West Hartford. That's what that is. Okay. So anyway, that's going on this Sunday, September 25th. Like I said, registration begins at 7 a.m. and the ride start 8:30 a.m. There is a brunch at the museum between 10:30 and 2 p.m. You can get more information at www.bikewalkconnecticut.org. All right. And there will also be, for Bike Walk Connecticut, there is an annual dinner and silent auction. And that's Friday, November 11th, 2016 at 5:30 p.m. That's Friday, November 11th, 2016 at 5:30 p.m. It's at Central Connecticut State University in the Constitution Room in Memorial Hall. That's 1615 Stanley Street in New Britain as well. So if you want more information, you can go to www.bikewalkconnecticut.org. So that's really cool. All right. So that's some bicycle events and activity that's going on. So I'll finish out. I have a few minutes left. So, let's see. I'll talk about surviving your saddle. So finding the right saddle is something that you have to pick and choose. There are different kinds of saddles. There are saddles that are completely solid. There are saddles that are varying shapes. If you're male or female, you may need a different saddle based on your anatomy. Some people need cutaways. Some people don't need cutaways. Some people prefer not to have cutaways. Which saddle you need is very individual. We're not big fans of those saddles that don't have a front piece, a nose, because the saddle is supposed to be a positioning tool. You sit in the saddle that where your sits bones are aligned with the widest part of the saddle in the back, and you're not supposed to be sitting into the saddle. You're supposed to be leaning forward and sitting lightly on the saddle and holding yourself in position with your with your core. And so as you become more of a cyclist, more advanced in cycling, your core develops and you're able to sit in the saddle, and then it won't hurt you so much. When you first get into cycling, you're going to find that your rear end is going to be sore. And I found that when I started cycling, my tailbone in particular was sore. And that went away with consistent cycling after 2 weeks, and I never had it again. Because ever since I started consistently cycling, I have not stopped. So, you know, and in order to prevent that, you kind of have to keep riding through the off season. So you at least have to do a couple of spin classes a week, or, you know, ride on a trainer during through the winter, or you're going to have to reseason your body to the saddle again. So because I do winter training, I don't have that issue. So you can avoid it that way. The saddle that I use, Ron was talking about, it's a particular brand and has a very wide cutaway, and my anatomy requires that. Some people's anatomy requires that, others don't. So that's why you have to try certain saddles. And Ron and I went through many saddles, and until I got this very wide cutaway, I had a lot of chafing. I had such painful chafing. It was painful to go to the bathroom. So once I found this saddle, that really, really helped. I also have to use chamois butter, and chamois butter really helps. Chamois butter is a good thing, because the chamois butter that I like to use has essential oils in it that are antimicrobial, because that's the thing. You're sweating into your chamois, and you're creating microorganisms there. So if you use something that has tea tree oil in it or other essential oils that that are antimicrobial, you're going to be less likely to get infections and irritations. And one of the things you can get, so first of all, you can just simply chafe, and chafing by itself is painful. And you can also get saddle sores. So that's where you rub into hair follicles and sweat glands, and they get rubbed, and then they get inflamed. And I can't seem to avoid them completely. You know, that there's, if you sit in the saddle a long time, you're probably going to get some. But you can avoid getting them as much if you use a chamois cream that has antimicrobial properties to it. So if it has tea tree oil and red cedar oil, menthol, thyme oil, that you can tend to prevent that. And it could also have lemon balm in it, which is a nervine, which will help with the actual soreness. So that's a very nice thing to put in as an ingredient. And then to have natural ingredients. It's better to have naturally based oils and creams in it rather than synthetic. So I like to see cocoa butter. I like to see shea butter in it. Shea butter is wonderful. And shea butter, there's no problem putting shea butter on sensitive parts. And shea butter is anti-inflammatory as well. It's very lovely. My favorite cream is a shea butter-based cream that basically has tea tree oil, a little peppermint oil in it. And people vary in how much peppermint oil they can handle. There was a brand that I used that was very high in peppermint oil, and I could not handle it. It hurt. You ever try using peppermint soap on your sensitive parts in the shower? Yowie, did not work for me. But I can use a little bit of peppermint oil. And again, the peppermint oil is not only antimicrobial, but it helps with pain. It's going to help you not to feel chafing as much as will lemon balm. And of course, they smell nice, you know. And so you're less likely to get chafed if you do that. And your chamois, so if you're wearing a bicycle chamois, that pad that's inside the bicycle shorts, you're not supposed to wear underpants with that. If you wear underpants, the seams of the underpants are going to rub against the chamois. You're going to be more likely to have pain, and you're going to be more likely to chafe. So no underpants with the chamois. That's what I recommend. We were talking last show about prickly heat, which is something you can get. But if you wear wicking fabric, you're less likely to get that. And if you're not wearing a chamois for some reason, or you're doing workouts with no chamois at all, you can get wicking underpants, and they're not going to be made of cotton, or they're only going to have a little cotton. Usually they're not going to be made of cotton, and they're going to have a wicking synthetic fabric that wicks the sweat away from your skin, and you're going to be less likely to get infections and, you know, issues, rashes and things from sweating. If you do chafe after all, you can put your chamois butter on after you're done riding, and the chamois butter has stuff in it that will soothe sore parts. Also, if you wind up getting saddle sores, you can care for the saddle sores. And one of my favorite things for caring for saddle sores is the first thing you use is witch hazel. Witch hazel is lovely because witch hazel is gentle. It doesn't sting like alcohol. There's a lot less alcohol in it than straight rubbing alcohol. It is antimicrobial. And it is astringent, so it's going to tend to pull it's going to pull the toxins and pull the inflammation out of the sores. And it's also going to kill the microorganisms that are munching out and eating the sores. That sounds really great, right? But if you do that regularly, that's really important to do. The other important thing is that if you are sweating and you are riding, and you, when you come to the end of your ride, whatever you can do to get out of your riding clothes and into dry clothes as soon as possible is very important. So if you've gone to a remote start that's away from your house, it's a really good idea to bring a change of clothes with you, and especially if you tend to get sores and you tend to sweat a lot, which I do. If I'm, you know, far away from where I'm from home, or, you know, if I've gone to an organized ride, I bring a change of clothes with me and I find a bathroom. If I can't find a bathroom, there's things you can get. You can use a large towel, or you can buy changing skirts that you can wrap around you and then undress by your car. And, you know, we do these funny things in the parking lots where we open both doors and we change behind in between the doors. But it's really important. Or you can change inside your car if you have enough room. But it's important to do, because if you let that sweat just sit there, you're more likely to get infections and rashes. So especially me, because I sweat a lot. So if you're a person who sweats a lot, it's really a good idea to change. And the other thing to keep in your kit bag is some kind of wipe. You can either use a baby wipe or you can use a dry wipe. And once again, wipe yourself down with witch hazel. Keep witch hazel with you and wipe yourself down with that. And just a little witch hazel wipe will help you to be less likely to get saddle sores and stuff. So. All right. So this has been Bicycle Talk for Wednesday, September 21st, the Interbike edition. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. And we will be back next week with more Bicycle Talk here on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores.